now like to invite John Stewart to give us a 10-minute address. I hope you're not in big trouble with your train.
No, I'm fine, actually. I was just letting you know.
So I just thought of that. but you can be with us for a little while.
Yes, I can. I can probably stay for the first session and maybe a little bit longer.
So John is the chair of the Campaign Against Climate Change nationally and is with us because of the Climate Jobs Caravan in Sheffield.
Jenny, thanks very much indeed. I was talking last night as well, and one or two of you are really unfortunate. You're going to hear me speak a second time within 24 hours. But listen, I'm disappearing after that to Liverpool, so there's no chance of it being a hat-trick, so don't worry about it too much. And I'll try and change a little bit from what I said last night. But as Jenny said, I'm really travelling with the caravan to a number of the cities is going on. Let me say a little bit about the caravan. There are two vans going around the country this fortnight, one covering the north of Scotland and the north of England, and the other one covering Wales, the Midlands and the south of England. And they end in a week's time in a big rally, one in Manchester and one in London. And what the caravan is promoting in a fairly visible way is this idea of 1 million climate jobs. Now, this booklet was written by the camp. Hi.
Who are they
going to
be for?
The jobs. Oh, hang on just a minute and I'll tell. we'll come to it. We'll come to that. Yeah. I'm going to be dealing with that as we go along. But let me just explain the notion of the 1 million climate jobs and where the idea came from. It's a booklet written by the Campaign Against Climate Change trade union group, and particularly by Jonathan Neal. And it's quite a catchy title, 1 million climate jobs. But actually, we believe it's also a sound solution, because what Jonathan's done is he's backed up this with facts and figures to show that actually 1 million climate jobs could actually be created in this country. For example, if there was real investment in public transport, we could get over 300,000 jobs. Real investment in renewables, over 400,000 jobs. And all the facts and figures are there. We're actually saying we think it can't be left to the private sector. If the private sector was incentivized, it may create some jobs, climate jobs. But to actually get this sort of guaranteed 1 million climate jobs, we believe that really requires government and the public sector to take the lead. And we're talking about a national climate service, and similar to the way the National Health Service was set up after the Second World War, in order to guarantee that people could have reasonable health and reasonable access to health. And what we're saying is that this is part of a solution, just part, but part of a solution to both the economic and the environmental crisis that we're facing. Because what we're arguing is we need to start with jobs. It's almost the very opposite to the austerity that the current government is pursuing. Somebody said, and I quoted this last night, that if you deal with jobs, everything else will take care of itself. Now, that's a little bit simplistic, but we can see what they mean. Because if you invest in jobs, then people start working. Then less money comes from the state onto the dole. Less people start paying their taxes. Money starts circulating in the local and national economy. And that's the way we can get out of recession. So it's growth. But it's very clearly, we're saying, it's a very important but. It's climate growth. Because in the past, when local authorities or national governments wanted growth, they would invest in big roads. They're still trying to invest in airports. Now that clearly will bring jobs, but actually it damages the climate. And what we're saying is let's invest. The only sort of investment we should be having is in jobs, which are climate jobs. But we are saying that these jobs need, and this partly I think addresses your point, they are jobs which are decent jobs, properly well-paid jobs. We're not saying that jobs should be created which are just jobs which are worthless jobs. But we show in the booklet that jobs can be created in public transport, in renewables, in home insulation, in ecological farming, which are jobs which are decent jobs and which people right across the board can take. Part of that, and part of what we're arguing, is there's also jobs in training, education and skilling people. Because part of the scandal right now of the crisis and of the austerity programme is there's so much wasted talent because there's not enough investment in skill training, apprenticeships and education. So that's basically what this is about. But I just want to try and relate, as you quite rightly are, to what Jane would say about this. Because while this is clearly focusing on the UK, that was the purpose of writing it, when there was a big climate change conference in Durban in December, there was a rally there about 1 million climate jobs being created in South Africa. And there'll be people going to the Rio conference in Brazil talking about 1 million climate jobs created there. And I think it's very important, because of our dreadful ecological footprint, that in the rich countries we invest in climate jobs and not in other jobs. But I think equally we need to recognise that if it's to be investment in industrialising countries, their focus needs to be on industrialisation which is climate friendly. But I'll just about end with this. It was actually quite impressive when you talked about Jane. She's actually got a climate job. And it really hit home to me that in this country, most of us don't have climate jobs because we can't get access to them. And our whole way of operating over the last many, many years has been in the very opposite direction. Whereas at the same time, somebody like Jane, going back generations, she and her family will have been working in climate jobs. And finally, what we are doing, of course, in our sort of jobs, in our sort of society where there's few climate jobs, is accelerating climate change, which of course is going to hit Jane and people in the poorer countries first and most acutely. And my own feeling is the one reason why rich governments, while they talk the talk, are not really seriously dealing with climate change is because I think they feel that in the rich world we may be safeguarded to some extent from the worst effects of climate change, whereas actually it's people like Jay who contribute virtually nothing to climate change who will be affected worst of all. And that comes to your other word, which is equity. It seems to me that is deeply inequitable. Just one last thing, what we talked about yesterday, I think you'll be talking about in the workshops, which I can't really stay with for because I'm off to Liverpool with the caravan, is how we apply this in our own locality. And one of the things that we do here, and I think you're beginning to do in Sheffield in a campaign against climate change and the Alliance, is work together to try and put some pressure on the council, work with the council, to create local climate-friendly jobs. And that, I believe, is as important as what can be done at a national level. Thank you very much indeed.